Am I on? Can you hear me? Everybody give a thumbs up. Dave, am I good? Okay, thank you. All right, so apparently some of you guys didn't get the memo today. You're all here. So I was hoping to come in today and be just seats and I could just picture you as the inanimate objects when I was practicing stuffed animals here and there. So if I'm glaring at you or giggling or smiling, you're the teddy bear that I was preaching to. So we've been in a series called Broken People, Broken Faith. I want to start off the day with a question. How many of you tested your cheer before sitting down this morning? No? Nobody tested the chair? You didn't jiggle the legs? You didn't see if it was sturdy enough? You didn't ask anyone at the desk if it can hold your weight, right? Probably not, right? You guys are looking at me like I'm crazy. You just sat down, right? But why did you just sit down? Because you trusted the chair. Right? You trusted the chair would hold you. And I know that's my attempt of trying to be a little bit of funny there. But it's a powerful statement, a picture of faith that we can look up there, because faith is not just believing in something in your head, it's placing your full weight on it. You didn't come in and sit on half of the seat or part of the seat, you came on and sat on the full seat because you trusted it. And I want to show you what I believe is a simple biblical equation of faith. Faith equals trust plus obedience plus surrender. And I'm going to break that down just a little bit. Trust, simply you believe God is who he say he is. And Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. And then we have obedience. You simply do what he asks, even when it doesn't make sense, right? Noah built a boat when there wasn't no rain, right? Peter stepped out on the water, right? All of those guys were obedient first. And then last, we have surrender, where you let go your control, even when it costs you something deeply and personal. Like Mary saying, let it be to me according to your word. Or Jesus praying, not my will, but yours be done. When you put all these three together, you don't just say you believe it, you live it. You move when God says move, you trust when it's hard, you obey when it hurts. God is going to put you through multiple tests to reveal whether you have that kind of faith. And if you don't have it at that point, he will develop it in you if you're ready. And up to this point, we've been talking about the men and women of Hebrews, which they call the Hall of Faith, chapter 11. We went through Noah, we went through Abraham and his tests. Last week we went through Sarah. This week we're going to start back with Abraham, but we're going to add in his son Isaac. And up to this point, Abraham has gone through some tests. And each one of those has been stretching him a little bit more. Test one, he left everything familiar and followed God, without knowing where he was going. Test two, he trusted God to give him a child even when it seemed impossible. Let me ask you a question. What do you do when God asks you to give back the very thing you prayed for? All right. What does that say about God? What does that say about faith? What does that say about us? You see, it's easy to give back or to say, God, I'm going to give you this vice. I'm going to stop smoking, all right? It's hard to give back something that you love. So I want to start in Hebrews. This is our highlighted verse. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17. We're going to start at 17, just a few verses, 17 through 19. And then I want to go back to Genesis 22 and go through our story, and we'll see how these two will match up. Starting in Hebrews 11, if you can turn your Bibles to Hebrews 11, starting in chapter 17. If you don't have a Bible, we have Bibles. If you don't have one right now, no, I ain't going to throw it. I'll come down and give it to you. Starting in verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, and there's that word, right? There's our key word, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. Right? This passage is going to pull us back to Genesis 22. This passage answers Genesis 22. So we start back where Abraham and Sarah had walked and waited with God decades to have this son, over 25 years. You know, Isaac wasn't just, you know, the joy of their heart. Isaac was the embodiment of God's promise in the flesh. God has said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named, and then came the test. I want to go back in time, back to Genesis 22, verse 1. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am, right? When I first heard that, here I am, I was like, that's kind of weird to say. You know, I'm always getting on my kids about saying, huh, or what, right? It's a little pet peeve of mine. Abraham said, here I am, right? That's a servant answer, okay? That's him responding quickly, and that's what we should do as followers of Christ. When God calls us, we should be responding quickly, right? This is a meaning of ready to surrender. And here we see in the second verse here. Now, when I was reading this, as far as what the commentators were saying and the scholars were saying, everything kind of slows down in verse 2. Okay, it's kind of like, you know, when you're at the beach and you go running and you get to the water and then everything starts to go really, really slow. You can't really move your legs fast enough. This is how this verse is. This is a heavy verse here. So slowing down and really capturing this verse is important. Because we see that every command coming up here is going to be very direct and very poignant, right to the point. And let's start here in verse 2. He said, take your son, whom you love. And did you know that was the first time mention of love between a father and son in the Bible? Go to the land of Moriah. Moriah is modern-day Jerusalem. And offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. Now, wait a minute. Didn't God just give Abraham and Sarah this child, this miracle child? The one single thing that made Abraham's life feel like he was successful was this child. And now God says, offer him up to me as a burnt offering. Now, I know what you're thinking because I was thinking the same thing. How could God ask something like this? And if we look at this, Isaac is the embodiment of one of the things that we hold as a treasure, something that we trust most in our life. This is the one thing that gets us up in the morning, right? It may be a dream. It may be getting married. It may be having a career. And maybe it's your retirement savings, it's your kids, but it's something that God wants you to give up. God is taking something out of your life that you depend on, and he's asking for it. And he's saying, do you trust me with this? And you don't know why. Tim Keller says that the hardest test of faith are those where God seems to take you off of the path of blessings and put you on a road of disaster. God is asking you to go left, and you want to go right. You're hearing God, but it just doesn't feel comfortable for you to go his way. I also got another quote from Tim Keller because he explained this pretty well. You're not really in a test until your wisdom seems to contradict God's wisdom. Right? You have not been tested until it looks like to obey God will lead to a kind of death and will require some resurrection. Right? Some of us avoid tests all the time. We hear about a test, we're going the other way. Right? We're refusing that. Right? We're refusing to consider the possibility that a loving God wouldn't want anything other than my happiness, than me being comfortable. But I'm going to tell you this. If you have a God who only fulfills your short-term desires and never contradicts you, you don't really have a God. You are your own God. In verse 3, so Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Right? There was no hesitation with Abraham. Abraham was obedient, and he showed that. You know, the scriptures doesn't say if he had a sleepless night, but he probably did. Right? But he trusted God. He trusted God even though he didn't probably understand him totally. But he didn't debate God, right? He didn't seek counsel. He didn't go to his wife and say, Sarah, God is telling me to do this. Pray with me. No, you can see the maturity of Abraham's faith. He knew what steps to take until God told him different. God trained Abraham over time, over decades, right? Bringing him to this place of trust. And this is what he does with us. When we find ourselves into a place where we are being tested and we know we're in a test, it's tough. But you got to keep going. Keep praying. Verse 4, on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. We'll get into that a little later. Then Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship. Now let's pause a little bit there. He said, I and the boy will go over there and worship. Now didn't God just tell him to go sacrifice his son? And look how Abraham is looking at this. Worshiping. And then he said, this is profound, and we will come again to you. Abraham knew that he and Isaac would somehow return. He knew that God had a promise to fulfill. And by now, Abraham, well, he was used to God. He was used to his character. He knew God, right? And he wasn't fazed. He knew somehow that he would be back, but he was going to do what God wanted him to do. In verse 6, and Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife, so they went both of them together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, my father. And once again, and he said, here I am, my son. He said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? So that tells me right away that Isaac, you know, there's just some discussion about his age, but he was a young man. He wasn't young that he didn't understand, right? And just by him noticing that, he was above in age. Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. That is a great line right there. God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering. He knew that. Looking back at these few verses that I just read, I want you to kind of look at the contrast between the faith between Isaac and Abraham, right? Isaac's faith was still emerging, right? We see in 7, Isaac says, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? This shows curiosity. This shows a need for understanding and perhaps a little bit of uncertainty. It's not doubt, though, right? It's not doubt in a sinful sense, but rather in a younger faith that seeks assurance. And it's also fair to say that Isaac needed some type of confirmation during that time. He was getting to the point where he needed to know, Dad, what's up, man? And he was likely, you know, he was likely there to see if he's going to still be learning and trusting through God and his ways, through his father's example. When we look at Abraham, as we look at where he was a little more mature. Right? Back in Hebrews 19, which says, he considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead. Right? So he was going forward with this. We can see that showed some deepness, right, of his faith. His faith was rooted in that promise that God had promised him. And he knew God's power, and he knew God's character, right? And again, Abraham walked with God for a long time. He knew, you know? And I can believe through that 3 days that they're walking that he was probably preaching to himself. He was probably reminding himself of the faithfulness of God, which we should do when we're in those tests. Right? And we're weary. Starting to preach to yourself, telling you what God has promised, what God is always there, that he's going to be with you, that he'll never forsake you. In verse 9, when they came to the place of which God had told them, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Isaac was old enough, right? He was old enough, and he was probably strong enough to resist, okay? But he allowed his father to bound him and then lay on the altar. So that tells us something profound, that just about Abraham's faith, but Isaac as well, that he was surrendering to his father. He was obedient. And that's also a reminder. I know we have the kids in here today. That's also a reminder of us, that our kids are observing us all the time, and they're watching us, right? They're watching us when we're praying. They're watching us when we're being obedient to God. Isaac didn't just witness his father's faith, he embraced it. Abraham's trust in God was planted like a seed in Isaac's heart. And in his moment, in this moment, we see that it is now bearing fruit, that he has total faith in his father and in his father's God. Verse 10, then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. I was in Google putting this into a search bar, and that's all you kept seeing was this hand up in this still motion of Abraham raising that knife over Isaac. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And I'm thinking, why did he say his name twice? That tells me that Abraham was about to do what God told him to do. That's also like your, you know, us parents, when we call to our kids, when we say our kids' first name and middle name, they know that, you know, something's wrong. They know they better be listening, you know. So calling Abraham's name twice, and he said, once again, here I am. Right, speaking to the Lord as a servant. He said, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son. Right? Abraham passed the test. He did it. In verse 13, and Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. In verse 14, so Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. So, you know, it's also interesting that they called the place the Lord provides in Abraham, and not how Abraham obeyed, right? We see that there's something profound here, there's something more important here. It's not just Abraham's impressive obedience of demonstrated here, it's God's commitment to his people, God's faithfulness to his people. And God's commitment to us is more important than our commitment to him. And his commitment to us becomes the basis of our commitment to him. When it is all said and done, and you look backwards over your life, the thing that will stand out is not your great sacrifices for God, but his steadfast faithfulness to you. Picture first and foremost, Jesus. You see, years later, another son, the one and only son whom the Father loved, would walk up a mountain. In fact, it was that very same mountain where he carried the wood on his back. But this time, the knife wouldn't be stopped. There wouldn't be a substitution, because Jesus was the substitution. The Father did what Abraham was asked to do. He gave his son, his only son. so we could live. So maybe you're here today and you're in that kind of moment where the thing you thought you needed hasn't come yet, or it's gone, or the thing you've prayed for hasn't come, or God is asking you to surrender something that you feel is very precious to you, and you're wondering, why would God ask this of me? What is he doing? I don't understand. And I can tell you that you're not alone there, because we've all felt that. The story of Abraham and Isaac gives us a framework not just to endure the test, but to understand it and learn from it. I want to talk about three things that this story teaches us. The nature of God's tests, why we need those tests, and how we can actually pass them with bold and unshakable faith. The first one, the nature of God's tests. You know, as we walk with God, we will face moments where he asks us to release something that we dearly care about. And it's not him being cruel, right? It's him revealing what he wants us to truly give to him and trust with him. You know, sometimes like Abraham, it's going to come like a clear command. God is just going to tell you something and quickly reacting. You should be, here I am, God, whatever you want. Other times it's going to come through some type of suffering, right, for a season. Yeah, an unanswered prayer, a long, unwaited, unmet need. You've cried out to God, right? You want a spouse, you want a child, you want healing, and it feels like that the heavens is just silent. But it's in that weakness when the thing you depended on that's withheld or removed, that's where it happens. That's where something sacred happens. You realize that God is more faithful and more fulfilling than that thing you thought, or that thing you thought that you couldn't live without. Right? The test isn't to break you. It's to build your trust. To ask, do you trust this gift with me? Or do you trust the giver? Number two, why we need God's tests. Right? Let's be honest again. We all have a tendency to take our good gifts God gives us and make them ultimate things in our life, big things in our life. John Calvin puts it this way, the human heart is a perpetual idol factory. We take blessings from God, marriage, children, ministry, success, and without even realizing it, they become functional gods to us. And these are not bad things. Good things that become God things, and that's when they become dangerous. Isaac is a perfect example of that. He was literally the miracle child, the long-awaited promise from God. But even Isaac, God's greatest gift to Abraham, had to be laid down too. Because if Abraham loved the promise more than a promiser, right, then Isaac would have became that idol for Abraham. Right? Sin is sneaky. Sneaky. Right? It's like that little thing just crawling around, just waiting for you to get weak and mess with you. It doesn't always come in a form of rebellion, right? Sometimes it's dressed up in a blessing. And still, it pulls us away from God. Testing reveals those subtle shifts, right? Testing purifies our love. Testing brings us back into worship. It brings us back to center. And the last one, how to pass God's test. So this is the big question. How do we pass God's test? How do we keep trusting when it feels like God is asking just too much? And we have the answer in Hebrews 11:19. We can bring up Hebrews 11:19. This gives us the answer. He, Abraham, considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead. Abraham didn't pass the test because he had all the answers to it. He passed because he believed in the power and the promise of God. He knew God's promise. He knew that through Isaac, offspring shall be named. Isaac didn't even have kids yet, right? So even if Abraham laid Isaac down, Abraham believed that God would have still raised him up. That's crazy. That's crazy faith. That's bold faith. Not faith that God will stop the knife. Again, we see that Abraham holding that knife up in those photos. You know, he wasn't up there like, all right, God, you can stop me anytime now. Right? He was going to do that. Because he knew that God was going to be faithful to his promise. That's how you pass the test. You hold God to his word. You say, I don't know how this ends, but I know who you are, and I know that you're faithful. I know that I can trust you, right? All I have to do is trust, obey, and surrender. That's what bold faith looks like. Bold faith looks like on the mountain, in the fire, and also in the waiting. And I just want to say, as just an elder here, because Jacob and myself and Matt and Pastor Trent, you know, we're praying all the time for this church. And we know that you guys are trusting God and stepping out in faith and doing what's hard. And you're saying yes to God when he tells you. You're responding quickly when God says respond. Okay? And we know that some of you guys are going through some tremendous things right now in your life. And it's hard. But God is still there. God is still faithful. Right? My message to you, I think I could speak for Jacob and Matt and Trent. Let's keep moving. Right? Let's keep taking those steps. Let's keep being the kind of people who doesn't hesitate when God calls. Who keeps taking the step, especially when things feel like it's getting hard. Right? Let's become that as a church. Okay? Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this time. I thank you for giving me the words. Thank you for allowing me to speak today. through your words, Lord. I pray for our faithful faith, you know, that our faith is in you, Lord, that we know that in you that we can do all things. And even the times that it's tough and we can't see the end, or you're asking us to give up something that we love, that we know that someday that will be resurrected. And we give you all the glory and all the grace, and thank you for all that you give us, Lord. Thank you for being just the guidance through this church. Keep us listening, God. Keep us moving forward in this movement that you have us in, that we want to be faithful and we want to be guided by you, Lord. And we thank you so much. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Let's respond. We're going to sing.